Well, we appreciate the work of our choir in preparing that, and of the narration, and of all the instrumentalists. It was wonderful. Would you agree?
Amen.
We focus on what wonderful means. Turn in your Bibles, please, with me to Isaiah chapter 9. A few Wednesdays ago, at the beginning of this month, we kind of began an Advent look at this text, and we said that Ahaz is given message about a baby. Remember, Ahaz is given an opportunity, a blank check, if you will, to ask anything of God, and he says, "No, I won't," which is not a humility, it's a disobedience. When God tells you to do something, you do that. And God says, "I'm going to give you a sign anyway." Isaiah 7, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. In Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah is told that he and his wife will have a baby, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Get back to chapter 9, and we have this reference to a baby who would be born, another messianic text. That the fulfillment of this comes 700 years later. When we speak about wonderful counselor, these are all in parallel, prophetic parallelisms, if you will. Wonderful counselor, all hyphenated, if you will, the same. That this one is not subjective. I asked you, wasn't that wonderful? And you said yes. That was your opinion. And I happen to agree with your opinion. But there are a lot of things that we say are wonderful, or marvelous, or amazing, or awesome. And some of them really aren't. But how we knew that this baby that would be born would be wonderful, wonderful counselors, because God says so. Not because the Pharisees thought one way or the other. Or because man holds him up in one regard or another today, but because God said, "A child is coming." Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Counselor has the idea of one who counsels or judges, who lays out plans. Oftentimes, it was actually the kings who would come up with a battle plan or an economic plan. And then hopefully they had the authority to carry that out. When we concluded on a Wednesday several weeks ago, I made these three points. Let me just remind you where I left off. The idea is that we should live according to the wisdom of God now. We shouldn't just say that this wonderful counselor is bringing in a millennial kingdom and he is going to rule over all. Won't that be wonderful? Yes. Won't he be wonderful counselor? Yes. But even now, you and I, in looking at the pages of Scripture, should say this is the eternal and powerful wisdom of God, and I decide to live by that. We say we should adore the wonderful counselor in everything, in all of our decisions. The Scripture gives us a lifeline to where we can say, this is how God says we should live. And then finally, I said on that Wednesday, we should let the message of Christmas be come our great witness, where we should look for opportunities to tie the nativity scene or the Christmas story or anything this related to this time of the year to an opportunity for gospel witness. Now, I remind you that King Uzziah had a son named Jotham who had a son named Ahaz who was not a good king. And this wicked man was panicking about this time. Rezin and Pekah, Rezin of Syria, Pekah of Israel, had bonded together and were pretty much knocking on the door. and he didn't have the strength of army to withstand them. And so he goes to Tilgath-Pileser, the Assyrian king, makes an alliance with him. Unwise at any time, because Tilgath-Pileser was going to destroy that coalition anyway. And Israel's kings were not to link arms, make alliances with wicked foreign powers. They were to trust in God. And that's what Isaiah is trying to counsel Ahaz to do. Let God be your deliverer. Don't look to the arm of flesh, which is weak. Let God be your deliverer. So we have an ancient prophecy that gives us what is oftentimes a Christmas text. This has probably been on a Christmas card that you have received or maybe given. Who was the unto us? Well, in Isaiah chapter 9, the us is the believing remnant of Israel that would trust God. To us who believe today, our hope is anchored in this God of hope. Hopefully, we look at this text or at a nativity scene with much more educated and enlightened and informed eyes than other people do. I told my wife I saw a sign between my house and church that says, "Rocking on the rooftop with Santa, come find the real meaning of Christmas." I'm not inviting you to go. But there's a lot of that that goes on today. The babe in the manger was the Christ of God. It's easy for us to get sentimental, but we need to be reminded, what therefore we then go and proclaim to others, that this baby is the mighty God, El Gibor. There are a lot of names that were given to God in the Old Testament that he revealed himself. In Israel, each one of these titles in this text would have said, that refers to God the Father. That refers to Jehovah God the Creator. And so it's interesting that God, through the prophet, says, this is what I'm calling my son. Before Jesus came, they must have been puzzled at this combination of names and titles and how this would apply to a baby, especially Everlasting Father. I mean, how many of us look at a baby, an infant son, and say, old man, or eternal father? El Gibor can mean God is a warrior, or as we understand it, God is mighty, the one who has dominion and power, and that no army can stand before him. The adjective has to do with something that is brave or powerful or cannot be squelched. The name of God, the name that God gives, speaks of a military domination. Again, we're looking at a sweet baby in a manger. And Isaiah is telling us about God who is in that manger. God who is the conqueror. And Jehovah was to be acknowledged in text in Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets. They were to look at this God who is the prevailing power. The God who could send them into battle with just a handful, who could send them against superior forces, and that God would fight for them. They would understand that. That speaks of Jehovah God, and that Jehovah God says, that speaks of the Son that I will give. If you look back at chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken on the day of Midian. The God who is the Messiah, the warrior God, is the one who would break the yoke, break the staff, break the rod. By now we know we're not talking about an ordinary baby. And from last week's text, we're not looking at an ordinary conception. God's own Son was born, was given. As a man, he was born. As the very Son of God and the Eternal One, he was given by the Father. John tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 18, "The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." When we return after the first of the year, or on the first of the year, we'll return back to our text in Mark. And it is important that whoever gets up in this pulpit takes the Word of God and exegetes it, tells us what that means. Jesus Christ, as the Logos, the Word of the Father, perfectly exegeted his heavenly Father. When you looked and you heard the Son, you knew the will and the power and the manner of God. Chapter 7, verse 14 speaks of Emmanuel, God with us. The Lamb, to the Lamb, Revelation says, belongs power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That's how they sing of him now. I'm glad to join with you, and we join with our choir to sing these carols. But there are carols, there are hymns of worship and adoration that are being sung in heaven right now of this Lamb, of this child. And instead of saying, well, I see a picture of innocence, a scene of sweetness, this was a war context. And this child who would be born 700 years later is mighty God, irresistible warrior. He went from heaven to the manger, from the manger to the woodshop, to the workplace. From there he went to the crowds. From the crowds he went to the cross and to the tomb. And from there he ascends back to the Father, and he's coming once again. He's in heaven, making a place for us, preparing a place. In the 1600s, a Puritan preacher by the name of Thomas Goodwin said this: "He doth not only promise us great and glorious things to be created by him," speaking of in heaven, "but he himself will be our heaven. The gates are magnificent, and the streets are awe-inspiring, but the glory of glory is the glory of God, Jesus Christ." Revelation 21:3 tells us God himself will be with them as their God. The one who came as a baby was really the light of life. He explains, identifies himself as the light from God. And Revelation 21:23 tells us, "For the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Who provides all the light that we will need that reflects off of those foundations and those stones and those hues and those colors and the beauty of it all? It's not the sun. It's the Son. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N. So when we look at this scene, the Holy Child of the Nativity, Revelation 21:22 says, will be the temple of its city. He will be the temple. He will be the light. He will be the glory. We need to take all this in and process this by means of the Holy Spirit in us, and then we need to declare this with all authority. Jesus is coming again. He's Wonderful Counselor. You know who has the right to make the plans? Is the Wonderful Counselor. You know who has the ability to carry out the plans? Is the Mighty God. Now you'll have to come back on a Wednesday night to finish this out. But when we read of this one who is mighty God, who is also everlasting Father and peace prince, we can hyphenate that as well. His wonderful plans, all the prophecy of God has either been carried out, is being carried out right now, or will be. And it's all by the power of God. He is the wonderful counselor. It's not just that you and I say, oh, I love that passage. It's so precious to me. It means a lot to me. That could be very subjective. But for you and I to say, all the counsel of God is to be declared. All the word of God is precious and powerful and cutting. All the word of God is effective. And you and I should say the wonderful counselor who was promised came and is coming again. The world will look not just to Judah and Jerusalem, but to the one who reigns there. Amen. And he will make decisions. And he will put down any rebellion. And he will rule with a rod of iron. And you and I rejoice in that. And we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The one who came is coming again. The one who is that babe that most people don't understand. And somewhere, mark my words, somewhere right now is some pastor who is saying, he is just a symbol of sweetness and of innocence. It's more than that. He's mighty God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one of these songs that we were privileged to be part of and to sing to your glory. We worship and adore. We're not on this planet just to buy and give presents as if this was a birthday of a family member. We are here to enjoy certain things from our culture in the day in which we live, but never let any of those things eclipse why we are here or what we celebrate. And so I pray that what we learn from this text and others, we might declare with clarity that Jesus is the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the priest, the Prince of Peace. And we pray that you would make that to be powerful on our lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.